This is John Costa from Citizens Eye, and we're here at Watt Space at the High Cross for a very special day today to keep going the High Cross CSR week we did a few months back. We've invited some local charities to come down, and I'm pleased to say that we've had Sue McKenniff has joined us from Leicester Charity Link. How are you?
Hi, John. Hi.
Very good. Well, thanks very much for coming down today. Tell us a little bit about what you're aiming to do today and what you're raising awareness of.
Well, I mean, firstly, thank you for inviting us to be part of High Cross CSR Week. We did some activity last year, and today it's really about coming down here, using this wonderful space available, having the opportunity to be at High Cross and talk about our food bank and food poverty.
Okay, now, you've got a bit of a display there with the food bin, and you're going to be leaving that in the shop as well, and you've got a bit of a display of the items that people can donate, that people are looking for. Food banks are in the news quite a bit. Are you seeing an increase in the amount of people that are coming to use your food bank at St Martin's?
We've seen a significant increase since the beginning of the welfare reforms on the 1st of April last year. We saw a fourfold increase in the number of people coming to us for food poverty, which is why we went down the route of setting up a food bank, which was city centre based, opened 5 days a week, because if you need food, you need it now. You can't wait for a week on Tuesday. And during the first 12-month period, we've distributed over 6,000 bags of food. But to be honest, it's still increasing. We've seen another 23% increase over the last 12 months. In one particular period of November to April, we saw 500% increase in people needing our help for food.
Now, obviously, people are able to donate food to you, and again, the red food bin here is that's an example as well. But, you know, when it comes to other money and other finance and stuff like that, how do you do that? Because surely taking that on as a charity suddenly goes beyond it's an activity you're doing to ultimately you're using your own money, your own fundraising reserves and things like that. How are you sort of coping with that?
Well, I mean, it's same as every other charity. You know, the pressure is on. We are in an unusual situation where we are being squeezed left, right and centre at a time of increasing need. So it's using the opportunities that High Cross have offered us to come down, raise awareness of not only food poverty and asking people to donate food, but just so they're aware of who we are and might be interested in what we do and may want to support us further down the line. So at the end of the day, we have to increase awareness, because if people don't know about us, they can't support us.
Now, one thing that we were talking about just before we did this interview was utilities and gas and electric and stuff like that. And there was something on the BBC that I watched, and it was set in Scotland, by the by, and they were saying that people were coming in and asking for food that didn't need to be cooked or heated because obviously they'd had their gas and electricity cut off. Have we started to get into that situation here as well?
Unfortunately so. I joined Charity Link 6 years ago, but I would not have used the word destitution, but I would use it now. We have got people who have come to us at the food bank and they are asking the same question: what can I have that I don't need to cook? Because I've been in the dark for 3 nights, I don't have a cooker and I have no means to be able to put electricity on my meter so I can cook. And that is a severely desperate situation that people in our very own community are experiencing. In those circumstances, we can help with utilities, we can supply co-op food vouchers, which can be used for utilities in a co-op store in the city, so we can support that. But again, we've seen a 200% increase in people needing help with utilities, so we're just demonstrating the need and the increase in need and the severity of need that is in our very own community.
Yeah. Now, you've got a new newsletter that's come out as well, which is great, and we've got that here, and anyone that wants to come by the shop and pick it up, they're more than welcome to. When you look at something like your newsletter and, you know, Charity Link and things like that, how do you, as a human being, and we were saying the biggest challenge, I think, today to society is indifference, you know what I mean? It's just the fact that people are willing to ignore people. How do you convey through something like a newsletter to your fundraisers and volunteers and, you know, potential supporters the situation? Because, I mean, the use of the word destitution, I mean, that's big, isn't it? I mean, after destitution, it's death, isn't it, really?
It's very difficult, and poverty is, it's not a sexy subject. It can be easily ignored. We can walk on by and be in our own bubble, and, you know, that's us as humans. It's trying to reach out and say, this is happening, it is happening here, and here are some of our stories to demonstrate that. We've got an interview with Jatin, who we helped for food and utilities, and he's shared his story with us, and it's in the newsletter and it's in his own words, which is far more powerful than what I can say, because it happened to him. And it's really just showing people what it really is like. I mean, as Jatin very, very eloquently put, it wasn't the... you have your immediate hunger and cold, but it stopped him progressing. It stopped him moving on with his life. He couldn't deal with anything else, and he just stopped. And we helped in a very small way. It was food and utilities. But that small amount of help enabled him just to pick himself up a little bit and think, right, how can I move out? How can I get out of this situation? But Jatin put it in far more eloquent words than I can.
That's brilliant. Well, thanks very much, Sue.
Is that all right?